Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you find with me Proverbs chapter 1? We continue the series on biblical heroes, and we're going to take some admonitions from Solomon today about connecting to Christ-like people. There's an old saying, you've heard it, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your crowd and I'll show you your character. That simply acknowledges that the people we connect with, they can either pull us up or they can bring us down. Our close companions can either bring us closer into the Lord or they can drive us further away from Him. Now, we certainly know that our companions affect us in all areas. It would be true athletically. Those who are really good at sports generally have had some good mentors that have coached them and they've trained with them. It is true in the arts. It's true in academics. We had a kid here named Alex Chang a few years ago, and Alex made a perfect score on the ACT, 36, went on to Harvard. I said, Alex, how did you do it? He said, well, I go to LAMP and I hang out with a lot of smart people. You see, it rubs off. It's also true spiritually. That's why Jesus surrounded himself with 12 disciples. He let them hang out so it could rub off. That's why Paul, he grabbed a Timothy and he mentored him. That's where Elijah had an Elisha, because he was trying to let all of the Spirit of God in him rub off on his protege. Well, here's what I want to ask you for this message to have meaning. Who is your closest friend? Who is your closest friend? Would you get an image of that person right now? Who do you spend the most time with? Who do you admire? Who would you call at 2 a.m. if you had a flat tire? Who is your closest friend that influences you the most? Here's the point. The caliber of your closest companions will either lower your game or lift your game. I learned a long time ago, it's hard to soar with the eagles if you're tied to the turkeys. So today I want you to examine who you're tied to. And are you soaring, or instead, are you going down to the very bottom, to the depth? Well, the scripture has a lot to say with how we live our lives. And I want us to go right now to Proverbs 1, verses 7 through 15, and listen to a pattern in the scripture that has to do with the importance of your close companions. Verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path.'" Now, that entire message is condensed in Proverbs 13:20. Please refer to your worksheet. And just to hammer it home, let's read it out loud. Ready? "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." Let's pray. Father, we want to pull in close to your heart right now, because we need your wisdom, especially about this vital topic of our close companions and the impact people can have upon our lives and the impact we can have on others. Lord, I pray that you would get me out of the way and that your Spirit would take this powerful truth and deposit it in every receptive heart. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's pull apart this very important truth and put it into play every day. And I guarantee if you will do it, it can change the way the rest of your life will unfold. Let's begin with number one. The first thing I've noted here is start with subtractions. Start with subtractions. That's what the scripture is saying. If we look here in Proverbs 1, verse 7, we certainly are given the admonition to fear the Lord, to fear Him and what He thinks above any other human personality. And then the writer Solomon, this wise man who understood the power of companions, he gives this word to his son. If sinners entice you, if they invite you to be part of their team, say no, subtract them. Because he is acknowledging that the people you associate with will affect your attitudes, your actions, your values, your vocabulary. They will affect your morals, your manners. You see, we become a product of the people that we are around. So if we are around negative, godless people, then they will hurt you. You will suffer harm. The same truth is reflected in Proverbs 13:20. And here's the bottom line. Do your close companions pull you closer to Christ or pull you further away? Do they lift you up? Do they put you down? The scripture says in Psalm 1, verse 1, if you'll note it there on your outline, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the mockers. This is called the progression of digression. Let me help you here for a minute. If you want to have a good biblical hermeneutic, that just simply means you want to interpret the Bible correctly, always go to the verbs. And do you notice these verbs are in a declension? You begin by walking, then standing, and then sitting. So you're walking along and people are walking beside you who have evil motives. And then all of a sudden they kind of entice you and they get your attention. So you start standing with them. And before long, you've joined their company. You're part of their posse. All of a sudden, you're engaging in their evil activities. They have ensnared you. So the Bible says, be on the alert. Have careful examination of the people who are your closest companions, because they can pull you away from the things of God. Jesus amplified this in Luke 15 when he told the story of the prodigal son. There's a prodigal pattern. For instance, where did the prodigal begin? He began with this arrogant attitude of entitlement. He said, Dad, I want my cash. I want my money. I want my inheritance. So he moves from this arrogant attitude of entitlement to rebellious action. He decides to leave home and go to a far country. And there he connects himself to foolish friends. And where does he end up? The companion of fools will suffer harm. This young man who had so much going for him, this Hebrew hunk, ends up in a hog farm. He ends up wallowing in the mud, in the muck, in the mire, because he was influenced by corrupt companions. So I want you to understand this principle. You've seen it played out. I've seen it played out countless times. I'll give you an example. I've been in this church for 27 years. I've seen a lot of young people grow up in this church. I've seen them come to Vacation Bible School, be part of youth choir. I've seen these kids then graduate and go off to college. And some of them soar like eagles, but others tie themselves to turkeys. There was a young man in this church a number of years ago. He was brilliant, super handsome. Scored a 34 on his ACT, was a national merit finalist. He got a big scholarship to a noted university. He went off. Of course, what did he have to do? He had to join a fraternity, and there was an Animal House group of guys. Not that all fraternities are bad, but these guys were experiencing freedom, and that freedom led them to make some tremendous mistakes. So this tremendous young man that we had invested so much into, he goes off to school, and here's what happens. He ties himself to a group of fools, and he starts to experiment with alcohol and drugs. He gets off track. He mixes his days and nights up, where he's staying up all night and he's sleeping through class. He thinks he's so smart, he doesn't really have to go to class. But in the first semester, what does he do? He fails out. He comes home with a wounded spirit. He's lost his scholarship. He's diminished his future. He has picked up a sexually transmitted disease. He has picked up a drug and alcohol abuse problem. That young man spent more time in rehab than he did in his college. Now, how many times have you seen stories like that play out? Because this is the great truth God is giving us. Those who walk with the wise grow wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. So here's the point of application regarding the subtractions. Let's evaluate and then eliminate. Evaluate people in your life who are close companions that are operating opposite to the Spirit of Christ. Now, you've heard me say on countless occasions that the Spirit of Christ is love, purity, and serving. That's your benchmark. That's your baseline. So if your closest companions are not loving people, but they are hateful and hurtful people, if they're not pure people, if they are duplicitous people, they're polluted people, and they're not serving, but instead they're arrogant, they're selfish, they're self-focused, they're self-centered. They'll step on you and anybody else. That makes them look taller if they can stand on your back. If those are your closest companions, you need to evaluate and eliminate. Now, some of you are saying, Jay, that doesn't sound very kind. Doesn't God love everybody? Aren't we supposed to love everybody? That's not the issue. There are some people I've determined I need to love from a distance. To be practical about it, you don't pull into your closest circle of friends and let them influence all of your attitudes and actions who are going to pull you away from the things of God. You love them from a distance. Number two, let's go to the second point here. Start with subtractions, move to additions. Now let's add it up differently. You want to select to connect to positive Christ-like people who will help you see and serve the Lord and His purpose in your life. Those are the people you want to add. Now let's acknowledge that regardless of who we are, in some form we are all susceptible to peer pressure. Heard about a reporter, and he interviewed a woman who was 102. He interviewed her on her birthday, and he said, "What do you like about being 102? She said, "Well, now there's a lot less peer pressure." Good point. But there's still some. I don't care who you are. We are influenced by others either positively or negatively. You see, here's the key biblical truth. You want to connect to people who will pull you toward Christ. Therefore, let's look on your worksheet and see Hebrews 10, verse 23 through 26 in that box. Again, to hammer home this truth, let's read it out loud together. Ready? "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, three things that I would like to extract from Hebrews chapter 10. Let's begin with obedience. Please make this note. To be wise, you connect with Christ-like people because of obedience. You see, when the Bible says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together," that's not a suggestion. This is an imperative. An imperative is a command. This is not if you feel like it. This is an order to obey. Now, a lot of times when I meet people, I like to ask questions and try to get into their lives and see their story. And I'll generally ask this question: "When you go to church, where do you go?" And over the years, I've had a lot of different answers. They generally cluster around these groups. Some people say, I don't go to church anymore because when I was a kid, I was forced to go, so now I'm refusing to go. Some people say, I had one guy say, I just outgrew it. I don't need that anymore. And another person say, there's just so many hypocrites at church. That's why I don't go. I generally tell them, there's always room for one more, so don't worry about it. I mean, a hypocrite is just somebody who doesn't perfectly do what they aim to do. Who perfectly does what they want to do? Nobody. So that's a pretty lame excuse. But here's my point. If a person is not connected to the body of Christ, they have missed the beauty of the body and the purpose of Jesus. Think about this. When the church was born in Acts chapter 2, what happened? We learned in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, that after the gospel was shared by Peter, there were 3,000 people who were baptized in verse 41 of Acts 2. And then what happened next? They began to bind themselves together in the fellowship, the koinonia it's called. They began to interweave their lives, and they prayed together, they broke bread together, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That was the first church. They weren't given the admonition to go off into isolated pockets. They were told that they had been wired for community. And here's why. Because the church is the body of Christ. That's what we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are the body of Christ. Do you remember in Acts chapter 9, there is Saul going to persecute believers? He's on his high horse riding to Damascus, and all of a sudden he is struck by this blinding bolt of light. He's knocked off his high horse, and he hears a voice in Acts chapter 9, verse 4, the voice of Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, Jesus was not physically present. Who was Saul persecuting? He was persecuting the church. So the church, my friend, is the body of Christ. You cannot escape that truth. Not only is it the body of Christ, the church is the bride of Christ. Now, please let me give you an analogy that means a lot to me because I have a bride. What you do for my bride, you've done for me. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that the church is the bride of Christ. So what you do for the church, you do it for Jesus. Let's just imagine this. Let's imagine that you're going home today and you're traveling down I-85 and you see my wife, Mary Ruth, over on the side of the road and her Toyota van has a flat tire. Let's just imagine that you pull over to the side and you say, "Oh, hey, Mary Ruth, I'm so sorry you've had a flat tire. Let me get you some assistance. Let's fix that." When that word comes back to me, what do you think you've done for me? Well, you've blessed me because you helped my bride. But let's imagine this. Let's imagine that you see Mary Ruth broken down and you just ignore her. You drive by and you later call and say, "Hey, I saw your wife broken down. Did that work out okay?" I mean, I'm going to be a little miffed because you ignored my bride. But let's even take it one step further. What if you stopped and saw her in this vulnerable position and you robbed her? What if you took her purse? Or brought physical harm to my bride? Oh, that would hurt me deeply. The Texan inside of me would rise up and I would want to come visit you. You see, if you do something to my bride that's positive, you've blessed me. But if you do something to my bride that hurts me, oh my goodness. Please don't miss this picture. Who are we? We are the bride of Christ. And the bride is always mighty important to the groom. But there's another picture that we get. It's in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. We are soldiers. That's what Paul says. We are soldiers. And if you have abandoned your post, if you're no longer part of the body of Christ, the soldier that is not present doing his duty is called AWOL. That is absent without leave. And you are abandoning your task. As a matter of fact, that's punishable by imprisonment and in some cases death because you have disobeyed the commander. I want you to see it for what it is. You see, when we are part of the body of Christ, not forsaking the assembling of the believers, we are being obedient or disobedient. But let me take you to another great truth. Another feature of Christian fellowship is accountability. Would you make that note? Accountability. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." We're told in Hebrews 10 that we are to encourage one another. The word encourage in Greek is parakaleo. It means to come alongside someone who's fallen and lift them up. Lift them up where? Lift them up to the Lord. You see, that has to do with accountability. Do you have some people in your life that you care enough about to help them stay on God's path? To me, here's the picture. The Christian life is like a mountain road. And you need guardrails on the mountain road. One guardrail is labeled encouragement. Encouragement is to pick people up when they're knocked down. But the other guardrail is labeled accountability. Accountability just means that you keep people on the right path. And frankly, I've noted that some people are allergic to accountability. They want to play the Lone Ranger. They want to do their own thing. I know one thing about myself. The old hymn puts it like this: prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. Take my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Well, you're just like me. You have the capacity to wander. You have the capacity to step out of bounds. That's why you need accountability. Don't be allergic to it. 1984, I moved to Alexandria, Virginia to become the pastor of the First Baptist Church there. 29 years old. I was the youngest pastor in the history of this church. It had been formed in 1802, and it was a pretty daunting task. The church was dying, and so our hope was to revive it. Well, I knew, just as a young guy, I'm going to need some backup. So I invited a group of guys to start a Friday morning prayer group. I'd never heard of Promise Keepers, but it seemed like a good thing to have a group of guys around me who would be accountable. And we would study the Bible together, pray for each other. So that started in 1984. We started on Friday morning, had four guys, and it was just really a precious time. Do you know I still do that? Did you know this last Friday morning here at First Baptist in the Senior Adult Center, we had 32 guys. And it was our privilege to come together, to pray for each other, to be able to ask each other hard questions. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. And we need to have that kind of fellowship with people. You see, you need in your life a Nathan. Do you remember when David was out of bounds? He had committed adultery with Bathsheba. There was only one person who cared enough about him to come tell him the truth. One person who risked his relationship to David. Nathan shows up and he says, David, you're out of bounds. And everybody knows it. The only person you are fooling is yourself. And David repented and got right with God because he had an accountability partner. Listen to this. Proverbs 27:5 says, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You see, an enemy may butter you up to stab you in the back, but a friend will stab you in the front with truth. That's what a real friend does. They will tell you the truth in love. So be part of a Bible fellowship class. Be part of a small accountability group. Lastly, here's the last feature of Christian fellowship. Besides obedience and accountability, there's productivity. Productivity. You see, the scripture says in Hebrews 10:24, the day of Christ is coming. A day will come, my friends, when you will stand before the holy radiance of Jesus Christ. And it's his fiery eyes will look upon your life and instantly evaluate it. And the Bible says in Matthew 25 that the king will say, well done, good and faithful servant, if you've been a good and faithful servant. He'll say, enter now into the joy of your master. But there's one illustration there where He looks at this person and he says, you lazy, wicked person, depart from me. Now, my friend, I'm here to put you on notice that the goal of God is for you as his servant to be kingdom productive. So let me state the obvious. You can be more productive with a team than as an individual. You've heard the old acrostic, team. Together, everyone accomplishes more. And that's the goal of God. He wants us to be the body of Christ, where we function in a healthy, well-coordinated manner, where we fulfill what Jesus prayed in John 17:21. He said, Father, I pray that they may be one. Why? So that the world may believe. Then we could have this revival that breaks out because the world sees us connected to Christ and each other. You've probably heard this illustration that a draft horse, a Percheron, which is the biggest of the draft horses, has the physical strength and capacity to pull a sled weighing 8,000 pounds. Oh, they're massive horses. But if you take two Percherons, do you know how much they can pull? It's not 16,000. It's 24,000 pounds because they are pulling together as a unified team. And that's a picture of what God wants us to do together. We can do so much more together than we can separate. You see, God did not wire you for isolation, but for community. And when you harness yourself to the body of Christ, that multiplies your kingdom productivity. Well, here's the bottom line. Now let's go from information to implementation. Information to implementation. And here I would invite you to honestly evaluate your closest friendships and determine which ones you need to eliminate and which ones you need to accelerate. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to take this simple, wise teaching about our companions and guide us to connect to Christ-like friends who will always help us be more for you instead of pulling us away from you and your purpose. Lord, we want to be kingdom productive. We want our lives to count, making an earthly and eternal difference. And I pray that you would use this day and this moment to do so. And I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.